Our Old Testament lesson will come from the book of Exodus. We'll be reading from chapter 34, the book of Exodus, chapter verses 29 through 35, and it is found on page 77 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. And when Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses would put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them. And Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, "These are the things which the Lord has commanded you to do." Our epistle reading is taken from 2 Corinthians. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 2, and it is found on page 1005 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not see the end of the fading splendor, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We renounce disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Luke, we'll be reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. That is found on page 900 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they wakened, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. As we said earlier in the service, we will begin Lent on Wednesday coming with our Ash Wednesday service. Epiphany, you'll remember, means a manifestation or revelation, and throughout our readings since Christmas, we have been trying to answer definitively who it is that Jesus is. We have seen Jesus manifested and revealed in various situations, and we have been trying to figure out just who Jesus is. We saw that he is one who the kings and wise men come to pay homage to. We saw that he is the one who strikes fear in the hearts of rulers of the world like King Herod. We saw that he is one who at his baptism is declared to be the beloved, the Son of God. We saw that he is the one who has the Spirit of God all over him, and that he is the one who comes to bring good news to the poor and the captive and the oppressed. Jesus, of course, is all of those things. And now, this morning, in dramatic fashion, Luke shows us again who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the chosen one, the one who Israel and indeed the whole world has been waiting for. And because of that, we are to listen to him. Listening, of course, is difficult for us human beings to do. We don't listen very well often because we usually have some preconceived notion or understanding about how things work. And so it's often hard for us to listen. I was reading about a doctor the other day who was complaining that patients often come into her office supplied with reams of information that they have gotten from the internet or have taken from medical books. And before she can begin to diagnose them, they proceed to tell her what is wrong with them and how she ought to treat them. She often has to set them down and tell them to listen to her. She is the expert. Listen. I'm told that one of the problems and crises of our society is a crisis of authority because no one listens. No one individual or institution in our society has the kind of authority that would compel people to stop and listen and believe, and so no one listens. Religious leaders used to have that kind of authority. When religious leaders spoke, people listened, but not anymore. Many people don't care what religious people have to say, and so they no longer listen. Political leaders used to have that kind of authority. When political leaders spoke, people listened and respected what they had to say, but today, no one really pays much attention to what political leaders have to say or respects what they have to say, and so no one listens to them. Scientists used to have that kind of authority. Scientists used to speak, and people respected what scientists had to say and listened to them and believed what they had to say, but not anymore. People don't believe even scientists today, and so people do not listen. About the only people that we listen to today are movie stars and celebrities whose hedonistic lifestyle serves as a model for what we believe is the good life, and so we listen to them. But Jesus, we are reminded, is the one who is given all authority. And Jesus, we are told, is the one in whom we need to listen. There are many people today who purport to speak for God, and there are some people who even say that God speaks to them directly and that we ought to listen to them. But it's not every day when God's self actually takes the trouble to come down and command us to listen to someone. But that's what happens in our gospel reading this morning. In the Bible, mountains are holy places. They are sacred places. They are places where one often goes to be close to God. And so Jesus takes three of his most trusted disciples atop Mount Tabor to pray. It's one of the things I like about Jesus. He was constantly praying, constantly in communion with God, constantly listening and discerning for God's direction for him. Prayer changes things, and indeed, in the midst of this prayer, Jesus begins to change. He becomes transformed. His face begins to change. His clothes become dazzling white. Moses and Elijah, two historic figures from Israel's past, appear representing the prophets and the law. It was no doubt a very fascinating and overwhelming display of God's glory for Jesus' disciples. Can you imagine being on the mountain as it begins to be overtaken by a cloud of God's glory and seeing Jesus being transformed and transfigured before your very eyes? That's what the disciples experienced. They were on holy ground. And if that wasn't enough, they hear this voice. The same voice we heard at Jesus' baptism a few weeks ago, the voice of God that says, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen to him, because he's not your ordinary prophet. He's not your ordinary rabbi. He's not some run-of-the-mill spiritual guru. This is the chosen one. This is the Son of God. This is the one who's been given all authority. This is the one who will bring salvation to the world. Listen to him. And only him. I suppose that's not very politically correct today. I hear some people, even in the church today, say that Jesus is just one person that we ought to listen to, but there are many other people who may legitimately offer a path before God, and we need to listen to them too. But Jesus is the only one who is God incarnate. Jesus is the only one who has been given all authority under heaven and earth. Jesus is the one who is the way and the truth and the life. We are to listen to him. That is what the voice says. Listen to him. But what does it mean to listen to Jesus? What is it from Jesus that we need to hear and to listen to? Well, first of all, we need to hear and listen to what Jesus has to say about his exodus. That's what Jesus and Moses and Elijah are discussing on the Mount of Transfiguration. The English rendering says that they were discussing his departure, but the actual Greek word is the word exodus. That's what Jesus is discussing, his exodus. We all remember the first exodus in the Old Testament, where Moses leads the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, out of Egyptian slavery, out of Egyptian construals of reality. But now Jesus is talking about his own exodus, his own departure. And we know what it is he's talking about. He's talking about his impending death on the cross. Jesus is talking about how he will go to Jerusalem, how he will be rejected by the people, how he will suffer, and how he will die on the cross. Ever since the beginning of chapter 9 in Luke's gospel, Jesus has been trying to tell his disciples who he is. He's been trying to tell his disciples what that's going to mean for him. He's been trying to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer and die and be rejected and then be raised from the dead, but they won't listen to him. They can't even begin to comprehend what it is Jesus is talking about. It doesn't fit their preconceived notions of what the Messiah is going to be all about. And so they can't listen to him. They can't comprehend how God overcomes the powers of sin and death through an act of self-giving love on the cross. And so they can't listen to him. Even on the mountain, as Jesus is discussing his departure with Moses and Elijah, we are told that his disciples are sleepy, just as they were at the Garden of Gethsemane just prior to Jesus' arrest. Sleep is a metaphor for incomprehension, and apparently the disciples are asleep as Jesus is discussing with Moses and Elijah his exodus, his departure. They cannot comprehend what he is talking about. Indeed, Peter, when he awakens and sees Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah, doesn't know what to do. He does what we all sometimes tend to do. Lord, let's be busy. Let's get busy. Let's build some booths. Let's build some tents. Let's build an after-school program. Let's build a five-year program. Let's build a Sunday school program. Let's do anything, but let's not listen to him. But before Peter can finish, the voice says, "Be quiet and listen to him. Be still and listen to him. Listen to what Jesus is trying to tell you about his impending death. Listen to what Jesus is trying to tell you about the way to salvation. Listen what Jesus is trying to say. Listen to him." I suspect today you and I don't have any problem listening to Jesus talk about his exodus. We don't have any problem with the suffering and crucified Messiah. We may not understand it fully. We may try to skip over it quickly and get to Easter right away, but we don't have a problem with it. A crucified Messiah is not a scandal to us as it was to Jesus' followers. We know that Jesus died to save us from our sins. We know that Jesus died to liberate us. We know that Jesus died to reconcile the whole world to God's self. And so that part of it is something that we can listen to. We don't have any problem with that. I suspect that where we have problems listening to Jesus is when he begins to talk about us. When he says that whoever would follow after me must deny himself and pick up his cross. That's when we start tuning Jesus out. That's when our eyelids become a little heavy. The notion that lordship and discipleship are interrelated and that we too are called in some way to pick up our cross is a bit incomprehensible to many of us in our society, where religious faith is just another commodity to be consumed. Religious faith is there to entertain us. Jesus is there to amuse us, or inspire us, or excite us, or to solve our problems, but certainly not to ask us to sacrifice in any way. But we are called to listen to him. Why don't we listen to Jesus? To listen to Jesus is to follow him. It is to journey with him as he makes his way to the cross, changing us and transforming us and showing us what it means to be a human being made in the image of God. To listen to Jesus is to die to the world and the values of the world. To die to all the things that the world says is important. To die to the world's greed. To die to the world's violence. To die to the world's hatred. To die to the world's jealousies. To die to the world and to become a whole new person made in the image of God. To listen to Jesus is to hear the good news that the future belongs to God. So there is nothing that should make us afraid. In life and in death, we belong to God. To listen to Jesus is to be assured of God's love for us, a love through which our own lives are radically and radiantly transformed. Listen to him. We are called to listen to him. Luke wants us to understand, and indeed all of the gospel writers want us to understand, that Jesus' glory is also Jesus' cross. That Jesus becomes glorified as Jesus is lifted up on the cross. Jesus will indeed make his way to Jerusalem. Jesus will indeed climb another hill. On that hill, there will be no cloud of glory. There will only be darkness. On that hill, there will be no Elijah or Moses. There will only be two thieves by which Jesus converses. On that hill, there will be no voice thundering that Jesus is the beloved Son. There will only be silence. And yet the love of God will shine radiantly through Jesus as he is transfigured on the cross, as his face is beaten and his body is beaten and his raiment is bloodied. The love of God will shine all the more through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The love for you and the love for me. Luke tells us that Jesus eventually comes down off the mountain of transfiguration. He comes back down into the world where demons and sickness and death continue to rage. And shortly after, we are told that he sets his face towards Jerusalem, where he will suffer and die on the cross. We will travel that way with him. We will travel that way because we have listened to him. And we know that his way is the only way that leads to abundant life. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us that we often have eyes, but we cannot see, and ears, but we cannot hear, in part because we have not listened to the author of life. We ask that you unstop our ears and empower us with your Holy Spirit so that we might both see and hear and listen to the way that brings eternal life. Empower all of us to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he makes his way to the cross. Help us to live into the good news, which is the kingdom that he is bringing. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.